another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G-Money. You're in another lovely Tuesday evening right here in the heart of Wailuku Town on the beautiful island of Maui in the great state of Hawaii. And yes, if you're wondering, that's right. I am that guy who interviewed that other guy who happens to be the director of Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. That's right. They called upon me, the media savvy mogul that I am, to interview Destin Daniel Cretton from Maui. And yes, that's who I am. And yes, we were shouted out by Pukalani Superette because of the story he told. And yes, did I give the best interview of Destin Daniel Cretton? You would be correct in assuming that, absolutely. If you have not checked it out, you should. It is currently on the NerdWatch page. It is also all over the internet, on the Instagrams, and of course on Pukalani Superette's website as well, or on their Facebook page. Lots of likes, and the only reason why is because I know how to do a great interview. Check it out. It's on Facebook.com slash the NerdWatch. It's on Instagram. It's on Instagram at NerdWatch. So anyway, also our interwebs and all of our information is at the bottom of the screen right there. But before we get started, it is time to introduce the crew this evening. Joining us, he is the producer seducer. He's also the man who was stuck in traffic because of a fire, who literally ate frozen pizza, the frosted frozen pizza, in his own car, uncooked. This guy has balls of steel. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Kai Kai. How's it going, Kai?
Oh, dear God. No, I did not. I just ate all the extra pepperoni I wanted to throw on top of it.
I thought you ate the pizza. No,
I'm not a savage.
Well, you kind of are.
Hey, I gotta ask you.
Yeah,
how's the view all the way on top of that overblown ego of yours?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because Ron Kataguy just said just finished watching that interview. Good job, GA. I've also played that Street Fighter game at Pukalani Superette once again. Confirmation that the interview that I did with Destin Daniel Cretton was the best one on Maui. Anyway,
Ron, why you have to blow his ego?
I appreciate
even
it,
more.
Ron. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Great. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to keep that up for a couple more seconds while I introduce this next guy.
Jesus Christ.
What? He is our man in black. He's also the man who does card tricks with his hands, bird tricks with his pants, and he too asked a question of Destin Daniel Cretton at the movie premiere. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the Hawaii Film Critics Society and former WoW gamer, reformed WoW gamer, it's a format!
Can I speak now?
Yeah, you're good. Right. All right, yeah.
I like how you keep us muted so we can't counter any of those claims.
Well, what are you talking about? There's nothing,
I know, right?
There's nothing to counter. It's listen.
I want to counter your overblown ego.
The words
counter
that I spit all were true.
All of the nonsense spewing forth from the gaping maw that is your mouth.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, you could not agree more with me on how well that interview went.
It was ball
good interview.
Yeah, it was
way to go.
Fantastic. So that
I'm sure Baldwin High is very proud of you right now.
So proud.
Destin Daniel Cretton and I will be exchanging correspondence through email. He and I will not be losing touch. And when he comes back back to the islands, we may have to do a podcast with him.
I'm sure he's already forgotten who you are.
If you watch the interview, I have such an unforgettable face that he recognized who
I was. Well, he's terrified, that's why. So, you know what I mean? When things haunt you,
oh, is that
you're
what it is? Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
You have no choice but to accept things as they are.
All right. Now, listen. we do have a few pieces of news today. No comic book list. Alik is not here, but that's okay. We're just gonna do a little bit of talking and things of that nature.
Sweet. And I can't wait to be talking.
And what I do want to hit first before we get into the news is that, of course, as you know, last week we really talked about Shang-Chi because we got to see the premiere. We got to see a critics premiere of the show. I wanted to go around the room really quick. Now that we've had an opportunity to marinate on the movie, giving ourselves another week.
Marinate.
Yeah. What are everyone's thoughts on Shang-Chi? By the way, just to let you know, this little piece of news will go with it. There is some good news and some bad news. Good news is that Shang-Chi had a titanic weekend box office of over $71 million, over $100 million worldwide. But the cloud that hangs over Shang-Chi, it is the third worst opening for a Marvel movie in history. So it's in the in the bottom three. So there's the bright lining is that this has made a lot of money. Not one of the best Marvel premieres ever. But what is interesting, though, too, in retrospect, is that because of the success of Shang-Chi's box office this weekend, Sony has decided to push up the Venom sequel 2 weeks to October 1st.
Wow.
So
I wish it was for a better movie.
First of all, how dare you? How do we know that this Carnage is, or excuse me, this Venom is not going to be better than the first? We don't know that. So yeah, it's
still dark and wet. You can't see anything.
It's true.
Sticky too.
Yeah, yeah.
We assume it's sticky, but I imagine it's more like snakes. You know how people assume they're slimy, but they're just, you know what I mean? They're snakes.
They're just scaly.
Yeah, so with that in mind, Shang-Chi, as we said, go around the room really quick. I'll start with you, Format. Format, after being able to kind of take it in, I believe you've seen it twice, actually. Yep. Have your thoughts changed about it? Are there things that you may have missed the first time and don't think are as good? What are your quick thoughts after this weekend?
The same. Like there was just more eye candy the second time around, because there were things I was looking for that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, it didn't diminish. Like, it held up for me anyway. I don't know if that's true for the rest of you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's still a great movie as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's good. What about you, Kai? What is your take?
I went to see it a second time as well, and still good movie. I was still surprised by some of the scenes, and I didn't lose interest watching it a second time around.
Interesting.
I thought it was like certain scenes stood out more to me.
Oh, yeah.
because you know, again, we're viewing it multiple times at this point. So
yeah.
Yeah, I want to say that.
Well, you hate the movie now?
Of course he does.
That now Destin is gone. No, I'm just kidding.
You can freely speak.
You can do all the SmackDown he wants.
No. What I was going to say was this: is that I had criticisms the moment I walked out that theater, and I think they still hold true. I didn't want to talk about it until after everybody had a chance to see it. I do find that the storytelling to be so steeped in it's so steeped in Chinese culture and the Chinese themes and the Chinese storytelling that I think some American audiences may be turned off by it after maybe a second viewing. I will say that because
that's possible.
Yeah, I do think that there is a bit of, I think the way Chinese cinema works is that the American palate is not really prepared for it unless you've done it, unless you've grown up watching it like we have here in the islands where we're lucky enough to have seen it.
Well, we kind of covered that last podcast.
Yeah, we did.
That it may not.
I will say that I did find that the only thing that till this day bothers me about the film, and this is just my hang up, is the fact that I had wished that the writers, including Destin, who was a writer on that, and I wished they had given us the opportunity, or given the characters the opportunity, to talk about, even if they didn't know, to talk about the Ten Rings. Like, it was just, for me, it felt like it was taken for granted. Like Pops had this power and the Ten Rings, and he has been around for as long as he has because of it, right?
Yeah.
I really had wished that they had tapped into that just a little bit, even if the kids or auntie or whoever just said this was something we've never seen before or something, but everyone took the Ten Rings for granted, and we were never given the full scope of it until, of course, the end credit scene, spoiler, where we kind of where finally Wong dips into the rings. Okay. Now, I don't know if that was a product of the fact they had to shut down the movie for a few months because of COVID and then come back to it.
What part did you not?
Well, let's put it this way.
He wants more lore behind the rings.
Correct. I mean, there's so much Chinese lore in this that they couldn't take 5 minutes or 3 minutes to give me lore of the rings themselves.
The first sentence they said is he finds them
right,
either in a tomb or in a crater.
Right.
That's all you need.
No, what do you need?
What more do you need?
Well, what I need to know is that after his kids had grown up, were they even interested to know where his father's quote unquote power came from? So that is,
they didn't.
And that
is obvious to me in the movie that they want nothing to do with it.
No, I understand that.
So much so that they left.
No, I completely understand that portion. But what I'm saying is that if you're going back to Dad to stop him, right, and you know that he holds this great power because you grew up with it, my question would be, the obvious question is that, hey, listen, these 10 rings that dad possesses is something that we have no control over. What are these things? I would have asked those questions. And I think that was the only thing that bugged me about the movie.
I'm so confused why this isn't an issue.
Because I want the kids to know, because if you're going to go up against Dad and Shang-Chi, the great martial artist that he is, right? I would say that all I would want to know is that something that can I harness the power of the rings? Is this something that it's going to be able to stop me from protecting my mother's homeland? Is this going to, or my mother's ancestors? Is this going to stop me from being able to do this?
I think you're looking at it from the viewing of an outsider, though. As someone who grew up around them, I don't think you would question it.
I think if you were going to fight it, you would.
No.
No.
I think if you were going up against it, knowing what your father has done, knowing who he is, and knowing what it is, and knowing that once you have gone back to him, even if you weren't interested in that, and your father had already found you out, your dad took an army of guys to come get you for this pendant, right? He took an army of people to bring you and your sister back. That would be... At that point, when they were brought
back...
Not
just an army, but, like, assassins.
Right.
He sent them to get killed.
Right. So, ultimately, my thing is that at that point, as an adult child, you would be like, well, listen, if I'm going to defend this homeland of my mother's and protect the outside world from what's in here, and if my dad has the only thing that can open... the tomb to release.
No. He didn't know that.
No, but
until he got there.
But that's the thing is that the Ten Rings is nothing. It, how do I put this? The Ten Rings should not be a mystery to the kids. They shouldn't take it for granted. That was my only
problem.
But they
do because they've grown up around it.
And
like, you don't know the lore of Pukulani Superette, but you grew up around it.
No, but what I'm saying is
you don't question it every time you go for teriyaki.
If you're going to fight it, though, if you're going to go up against it, you're going to want to know the enemy and the powers that he possesses. And I think that that's the only thing that bugs me about it, is because it just, at the very end, just like as it happens, spoiler alert, by the way, the way Pops kind of just hands over the rings to his son, and he just kind of magically is able to harness the power, right? I would assume that he would have known, or somebody would have said something, or hell, even if it isn't the two, if it isn't the brother and the sister, I would assume it would have been Awkwafina. I would assume she would have said, "What the hell are those things?" But no one ever asked that question, and I think that. That is, and I think for me, as someone who is the outsider, like you said, looking in, and she's supposed to be my eyes, right? She's my window into that world, right? Because she's an outsider too. So she's, my first question would be, holy crap.
She isn't. You know what I mean? Because, like, at the end of the day, she still uses chopsticks.
Yeah. What the fuck? What the hell does that mean?
You said she's an outsider, but she's, like, not.
No, but she
takes her shoes off when she enters the house.
But she didn't know. But she didn't know what Sean possessed until he got there. She didn't know it until she saw it on the bus. And you know, at least she has a. And in that scene, she acts like a. She acts like one of us. Like, what the hell was that? I've known you for 10+ years. I've never seen that before. What the hell was that? So right. Yeah. So that's what you would ask. So when she goes back with him to China. I mean, my only question would be, if I was her, I'd be like, and she's sitting at the dinner table with Dad and they're talking about this, I'd be like, what? Hey, fella, what's the stuff on your arms? What, you know, like, what the?
See, you should just assume that happened off screen. See? On the helicopter to the compound.
No.
It's like, I'm really terrified of you, sir, but I just have to ask, what's going on with the bracelet?
Yeah.
And then he goes into a long story about, you know, where the bracelets came from and the powers that they've granted him.
Even if Tony Leung's character, even if Awkwafina's character asked that, and Tony even and remotely just said that this is a power that he has been able to harness over centuries of use. Right? If he were just to say that, or he were to say, I'm not sure where this has come from, I would have been happy with that. But I felt like it was a...
I don't understand why you need it.
Reason why I need it is, once again, because I'm the outsider looking in, and that's the... Like I said, everything else, I understood.
You're those same people that complain about, like, and nitpick about stuff, and then they give it to you, and then you're not satisfied.
Why
would they give it to us? Oh, I hate this story now. Oh, terrible. Writing.
But the thing is that I don't hate it. It's just something that sticks in my craw. And that's the only thing.
Right, until they explain it, and then you will be furious.
Yeah, well, we will see. Because, like I said, when we find out, because at the very end of the film, we find out that obviously this is a metal they've never seen before, blah, 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 right. blah, and it's a beacon. I just felt by that time that we get that, it felt like it was too late. So, like I said, it's a minor criticism of a movie that I actually really enjoyed, but it leads into... Right.
Too late is, in retrospect, like in perspectively speaking,
right.
This is before something else.
And see, and Murphy has it so right, by the
not,
way.
This is not...
This is the logic. You don't need to know. All you need is a fighting spirit and a training montage to beat the final boss.
That's like, what I'm saying.
That feels like a Street Fighter excuse. Everybody would have loved Street Fighter if that were the case. But like I said, that's the only thing that I really had any issue with, because those rings hold so much power. And I think other than that, I really enjoyed the movie. I think as an outsider looking in, I just wanted something to hang on to, like, hey, listen, these things are powerful because of this, or these things are powerful because we don't know, or these things are powerful because they come from someplace unknown. That, so, anything, just something for me to hang on to. But I get that. I get that as the credits roll.
I think as a theory crafter, like, it doesn't bug me as much because now the door is open and I can think of what could be. Whereas yeah. you're like, I want solid answers. Give them to me now.
I just think that ultimately what happens is that
if they gave it to you, would it have been a better story, do you think?
Yes, 100%. Because for me, all I would have needed was the answer from Dad of, even if he says, I didn't know, or I don't know, it came down from heaven, right? In the crater, it came down from heaven. It was blessed to our people, or something. If they had said
that's the first line.
And like I said,
that's the first line, the exact first line of the movie is he found the rings in a crater or a tomb.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the first line.
But once again, that's fine. You can find them. But that once again, if like I said, if they had just given me something like they believe that it was blessed, these rings were blessed for him to
but
use.
But they don't.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's the thing that bugs me. Like, you find something in a tomb and you just assume you're going to use it for and put them on your arms and you're going to use them and they're powerful. Like, that's the only. And like I said,
maybe he has a really forward-thinking fashion sense and was like, I really like what these bracelets do for my eyes. And he put them on and then he felt a surge of power and was like, whoa.
And once again, like I said, this coming from the perspective of knowing the comics, as far as the rudimentary amount of comic knowledge of the Ten Rings that I have, I would have taken just a little bit in the movie just to get us over the hump. Because Shang-Chi wielding the Ten Rings at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, is important. And the fact that he can harness that power is important. And I think that, and once again, what is in him that makes him able to harness that power? Because
I don't think it's a him, though. I think they're in the rings. Like, anyone can put them on and beat ass. You know what I mean?
And that's wonderful. And I could have totally used that as well. I would have totally taken that. Drawn in the chat says, I guess you won't be interviewing anymore. I told Destin, and it's still true. Shang-Chi is in my top five Marvel movies, or even in my top three. That's how fun and entertaining it was. It doesn't mean for me that it was perfect, but damn, it was sure entertaining. So, mm-hmm,
for sure,
you know, and that's my only. And once again, I'm harping on one thing that I find that I'm complaining about, and that's it. Yeah. Other than
because it's you gotta complain about something.
Because it just
way to go, Todd.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I can say this right now. I like this movie way more than Todd ever will. Okay? More than Todd ever will, and we know this.
I have a feeling Todd will just show up and be like, you know, the history of Kurosawa films and be like, God damn it, dude.
I just, once again, and like I said, it's a minor story point that's stuck in my craw, and until I get that notion, I think. What did I like?
It sounds like you hated everything because of this one thing.
Let me tell you something.
So what did you like?
I will say this.
Talk about the positives for once, Gene.
All right, let me talk about the positives, all right? Here's a couple of positives for Shang-Chi. Number one, I thought Simu Liu was much better than I expected as the lead, right?
You know it's Liu, right?
Yeah.
Simu Liu?
Yeah, Simu Liu.
It's not Liu Kang.
No, it's
Liu Kang.
It's Simu Liu. That's how I said, Simu Liu. Simu Liu.
Well, you're pronouncing like every
Simu
vowel in there.
Liu.
Very good.
Simu Liu. That good?
Very good.
All right, here's it. So my
now all of the Asians are proud of you, but everyone else is right. Disgusted.
Let me try reason. Another Asian name. Awkwafina.
Nice.
Yeah, see? Good, right?
Yeah.
I thought Simu's portrayal of Shang-Chi was good. It wasn't
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
It's gonna be a long episode. It's gonna be a long episode.
Yeah. I thought his portrayal was good, and it wasn't blockbuster. It wasn't.
It was right where it needed to be.
I thought that sometimes he was a bit more internal, a little more morose than I like, but and that's only because of where he came from, so I got that. I thought his sister where his family came from and how it's affected him. I thought that his sister Menger, or her performance was great. She was good. I mean, she was not. I wished she was a little better. Big shout out to one of our Twitch viewers, Extra Pleb. I totally haven't seen the movie yet. Okay, nice. We are totally spoiling this movie right now. So you're lucky you came.
You don't
in
have
when
to
did.
See it now.
Now you don't have to see it. All right. I will say that my two favorite things in this film, as far as performances go. Number one, I think Awkwafina is great. And I'm sticking to my guns on that. And number two, and this should go without saying, is that I think Tony Leung was fantastic. And that's only because I'm biased, because I've seen Tony Leung in so many other films that I have a bias towards how good of an actor he is.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And I've seen in other interviews that the other members of the main cast were just in awe.
Yeah.
With like his work ethic and everything that he put into the role.
Yeah.
He was always ready to go.
Yeah, he was. This is his first, I guess you could say, film that was.
This is his first Hollywood outing, comic book film.
Yeah.
So this is going to be pretty big, because this is going to introduce him to a lot of, you know, Western moviegoers.
Yeah, and that's good, because you're missing out. You should look up Tony Leung and look up his body of work, and it's great. Now, that's L-E-U-N-G, by the way, if you want to look him up on Google. I will say this as well. I think, and this is once again a criticism, but also a good thing. I thought the first hour of this movie rocked. I thought the second hour didn't live up to what the first hour gave us. And I have to say that, I hate to say this, but Aaron, of course, you know, is the Cinnamon Scallop, the Hawaii Film Critics Society member. I agree with him 100% on that. I think the first hour was fantastic. I thought the second hour didn't live up to what the first hour gave us. And I think that was just through the stories that they were trying to tell. Because
I think a lot of that is because of the perspective, though. Like, a lot of the first hour was action packed. You know what I mean?
There
was a lot going on there.
Right.
While the second half was a lot of like scenery shots, a lot of backdrops, a lot of, you know what I mean?
The movie slows down.
The stuff that you would get mostly from the Hong Kong side of things.
Correct. The movie slows down. It gives us a few flashbacks. I've heard the criticism that there were too many flashbacks. I can kind of agree with that. But I think that in retrospect, it's important to the story of Shang-Chi. So I will let that slide. But
how gracious of you!
I know, man. I'm very critical. But moreover, though, I still believe that Shang-Chi, and coming from the guy who gave Destin Cretton his best interview, me.
Wow!
Yeah.
What an honor it is to be in your presence.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what Destin said. You know, but nice. But here's the thing: is that, and I meant it when I said it in the interview. You have not seen the interview, by the way. It's on our Facebook page and our Instagram. You should check it out.
No.
I agree. I will say that this Marvel movie has something that every other Marvel movie lacks. Everyone.
What?
Shang-Chi has a grace and elegance in the action and the filmmaking that none of the other movies, none of the other Marvel movies have. Because it treats the action not with big explosions and big spectacular big booms and bams, which to be fair, Shang-Chi has for sure. Right. But they treat the action with such respect and with such an ebb and flow of the martial arts, something that an American audience may not have been able to have seen before. In that respect, and I still believe that till now, I think that this film is something that every other Marvel movie should try and do. Take the time to tell the story, but also give us something that who was it that somebody that saw it said something very interesting to me. They said the fighting reminded them, they're an outsider. They're even more outsider. Because they're not into comics, they said it reminded them of House of Flying Daggers. And I thought, I guess from an outsider perspective, maybe. I mean, it's beautiful in that respect. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to begrudge that. I'm not going to begrudge that example.
They said it like in a bad way. Or?
No. As in a good way. That's what it felt like to them.
Oh, okay, so, gotcha.
And for me,
I'm not seeing the bad part in this.
No, that wasn't a bad thing. They were just saying
like the fights in House of Flying Daggers are amazing.
Oh yeah, and I think that is something that you would not expect from a Marvel movie, and this one gave it to you, and this one treated the once again, if you are anywhere versed in martial arts films, there is a symphony of violence, as in. It's music. It moves. It flows. It ebbs. It flows. It's dance, and that is what an American movie like Shang-Chi has achieved. That I don't think an American martial arts movie has ever achieved. I would say that. And dare I say this? And I mean this. I don't think that Enter the Dragon, even though I love that movie, even comes close to showing that kind of filmmaking that we know from China. But this one does. Now,
well, to be fair, I mean, Bruce's like his whole take on combat was the fight should be done in like three hits.
Three hits, right.
They're not meant to, you know, slap hands and all that. So
don't concentrate on the finger, or you'll miss all that heavenly glory. Love, that's one of my favorite lines in any movie. And I will say, my point is that for as good as Enter the Dragon is, that's an American movie, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Fist of Fury, The Big Boss. Those are Chinese movies, and those are fantastic. Very different from.
Did you hear? Enter the Dragon. Like I heard somewhere, I can't remember. Maybe I read it somewhere. When Bruce like hung up his fighting gi to move back to China and do movies there, the Hong Kong directors were like, "This guy doesn't know how to fight. Like all of his things are just." You know, he didn't come out of the Shanghai Opera or anything like that. So all of his fights were like two hits done.
Yeah.
It wasn't the back and forth, you know, the play between the different combatants.
And right. And I think that is something interesting about Bruce himself. And I mean, you know, not to get off track about this, but what I'm saying is that equating what you've seen in actual Chinese martial arts cinema as opposed to what you see here in America, it's a completely different thing. And Shang-Chi does the best in representing that. You know what I mean?
Agree.
You know, so, and dare I say, and once again, no disrespect to Jackie Chan, but his American movies don't come close to what Shang-Chi did. And that's a big statement, I know. Because Jackie is very fast-paced. You know, it's you know, there's a lot of movement, but there's no, and I can't, and his Chinese movies.
I think that's by design because right. his Hong Kong stuff is superb.
It is. All his Hong Kong stuff is grace.
It's that so, has transferred over to Hollywood is like so watered down compared agreed. To all of that.
100%.
And I think that's because those are the movies that Hollywood picked.
Correct.
Because it's the ones they better understand.
Right.
Rather than, you know, Wheels on Meals and stuff.
Right, Wheels on Meals. I mean, my favorites are still Drunken Master 2, you know, stuff that, you know, we don't, unless you know, you don't necessarily see here. Joel wants to know you don't like Rush Hour. No, we like Rush Hour. But that is not, I wouldn't say that that was the movie that I picked to show off Jackie Chan's expertise in martial arts. You know what I mean? That's that's just me. But getting back to the point. I have very few criticisms about Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi is, for all intents and purposes, once again, it's not me being biased because I've been more than upfront about the things that I think had a problem with. I think that Shang-Chi is special because not because of all of the controversy surrounding it being, you know, this big Asian film production and all these. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is it's special because, number one, through this whole crazy year, through the whole crazy last year, we haven't had a movie like this in that long. And to get to get this and to get a movie that makes us feel very cool, a movie that is cool and we can just go and enjoy, is what I think is awesome. Now, there are people that don't feel the way I do. I know that there are a lot of people out there that I've been watching on YouTube that think the movie was boring. I didn't get that.
Yeah, I never get that either.
I didn't get that at all, as a matter of fact. So I think that if you have not seen Shang-Chi yet, I hope we have not ruined the experience for you, because Shang-Chi is worth your dollar to see. But I will say one thing, and I said this at the theater, and I will stick to my guns.
They should give us free popcorn.
This should have been this movie should have been starred all white people. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn! What a hard take to
Was that wrong? Was that a hard take? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I will say this. I think that Disney's biggest mistake with Shang-Chi was not simultaneously releasing it to theaters and Disney Plus.
I agree. They would have made so much more money.
I think they would have made so much more money. I think that this was the perfect, and Bob Chapek, the president of the CEO of Disney, said that this was going to be the experiment movie. Well, to be fair to Bob, I think the experiment paid off because they haven't made this kind of money in the last year and a half. Okay? Yeah. So, Ron Katagai in the chat says Meals on Wheels. That fight with Jackie and Benny was, I agree, was
Benny the Jet.
Yeah, Benny the Jet. It was freaking awesome. I agree. Meals on Wheels. If you've never seen the Jackie Chan movie Meals on Wheels, check it out. It's pretty sweet. But anyway, I think that they made a mistake by not releasing it, because I have to tell you something. This film, regardless of how you feel about it, would have played a lot better with families in the house. Because the magic the magic of what we see, the magic of the world, the dragons, what was happening, I really think that they missed that opportunity. And I think it was because of, unfortunately, I mean, to be fair, this has not even hasn't even outgrossed Black Widow yet, if I have my facts correct on that. But ultimately, I think that what is so refreshing and why people are gravitating to the movie theaters for Shang-Chi, and I could be wrong about this, I think people are actually want to see different people in the Marvel Universe. I think Black Widow kind of closes the book on the Avengers as we know them, right? Black Widow, Captain America, the Hulk, it's kind of closed the book on the Avengers that we knew for the last 12 years. This is something we're going to start. It's already been official in the news. They're talking about how this movie, Shang-Chi, will be an Avenger. That's how this is the talk of the town. So we're going to see a new look for the Avengers, which I think is good. Matter of fact, this is so good that they're actually thinking about either, and this sounds so stupid because it's the same thing, they're actually thinking about moving up the Eternals more into release date, or putting it back further for like for possibly like a spring or summertime release in 2022. So I don't know how they're going to play that out, but I'm telling you right now, I think that I don't think they should delay the Eternals at all. I think if anything, bring it up. People are already on the Shang-Chi train. You know what I'm saying? would that be proper? Would it be the Shang-Chi bus? No?
I don't know. Sorry, I was trying to think if the theaters could handle having another Marvel movie.
Oh, it's true.
It doesn't. You know what I mean?
Well,
like so close together.
Let's put it this way: because of this, because of Shang-Chi, mm-hmm. not only has Venom moved up 2 weeks, right, the new Venom film, to October 1st. Now that we know the field is open because Top Gun and Mission Impossible have been pushed back. Those are out of the picture for 2021. Oh. And Ghostbusters Afterlife has been pushed back another week to November 19th. And of course, as we know, not just that, there's also No Time to Die with James Bond. So, right.
No time to make time, please.
Yeah. That's right, Ron Kataguy, the Shang-Chi Express. I am on board for the Shang-Chi Express. I agree. Murphy in the chat says, that's disappointing. No superheroes starring someone named Chris. that is also true. I like Shang-Chi
Express. Simu's middle name is Chris.
Is it really?
We found it out, boys. Yep. There you go.
Oh, wow.
Simu Chris Liu.
Liu, I think. Yeah. So, I hope everybody jumps aboard the Shang-Chi Express, because you don't want to miss that train, baby. It's on its way out the station, and it's smoking. So, anyway, please do yourselves a favor and go check that movie out. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. And with that in mind,
kick leg G. Every small little thing is going to send you into a furious rage.
I wasn't in a rage.
The bracelets, explain the bracelets. So mad.
I want to see that. Anyway,
it's probably just coming in the second movie. Just got relaxed.
Speaking of China, I don't know if you, I don't know if any of you guys know where that is, but,
it's where Macau is.
Yeah.
Isn't that what,
no, I don't know.
Isn't that what, Method Man talks about? Macau?
Yeah, that's right.
Macau? No?
Macau.
Just making sure.
Man, Method Man was ahead of the game.
Method Man was way ahead of the game. Macau. So there's some interesting news. Speaking of China and entertainment, this is coming from. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of these guys, but we got this from Comic Book Resources. Since Xi Jinping took power in China, the nation has undergone a radical change in culture and politics. The Chinese Communist Party
is that the Winnie the Pooh guy?
That's Winnie the Pooh. Yep. The Chinese, the Chinese Communist Party ruled government is currently cracking down harder than ever before on the entertainment industry, evidently in order to reshape it in line with Xi Jinping thought. According to at least one industry insider,
everywhere.
That crackdown may impact the likes of international stars such as Jackie Chan and Jet Li. Now get this, a small-time Chinese director named, I believe his name is Zhu Hao Wugong, I believe, worried followers on social media when he listed Chan and Lee along with other Chinese celebrities who hold foreign passports as potential victims of the ongoing shift in the industry. He said, quote, "You should run. The house may come down on you next month." Zhu warned in a video, while his claims cannot be verified, his followers believe him credible due to his involvement in the industry. Additionally, several Chinese celebrities across the globe have acted in response to the crackdown after finding their names on a rumored, quote, reorganization list from the National Radio and Television Administration. These celebrities include Hong Kong star Nicholas Say, who holds a Canadian passport. Other names reported to be on the list include Liu Yifei, who starred in Disney's live-action Mulan. It is thought Say's actions may prompt other celebrities to renounce foreign citizenship. Also, these actions are not completely unwarranted. Chinese actor Zhao Wei, who has frequently been mentioned in tabloids over the years, was recently scrubbed from Chinese websites and media without reason. While it was reported that she had traveled to France, a now deleted Instagram video suggested that this was in fact untrue. For decades, celebrities gaining citizenship abroad have been the subjects of scandal. This includes Gong Li and Jet Li, who both hold Singaporean passports, Liu Yifei, who holds an American passport, and others. Since China does not recognize dual citizenship, these foreign citizenships are often perceived as a form of abandonment of China and Chinese culture. Now get this, incidentally, Jackie Chan has consistently expressed support for the Chinese Communist Party and has frequently acted to defend it. Speaking at a symposium, the actor recently voiced his desire to become a member of the CCP, stating, "I'm jealous that you are CCP members. The CCP is really great. The CCP's promises don't take hundreds of years. They are fulfilled in decades. I want to be a CCP member," unquote. Now, one of the reasons provided for the recent pressure on the industry is celebrity culture and the tendency to, as state media puts it, make celebrities out of unworthy individuals. That's a quote. It is worth noting that 2021 has been the celebration of the Chinese Communist Party's centennial, which prompted the party to reinforce its image both at home and abroad, going so far as to demand that cinemas screen at least two films celebrating the CCP every week. Furthermore, the NRTA, who we talked about earlier, recently dictated that effeminate styles will be removed from television and that it will enforce a correct beauty standard. In addition to all media will shift to promote traditional Chinese culture, revolutionary culture, and socialist culture. Film and television are not the only media forms affected. Chinese authorities, in conjunction with businesses, impose limits on how minors spend their free time through a ban on video gaming during the weekdays, and the government's actions have resulted in a strong response from the younger generation in the form of various movements such as Lying Flat. So it looks like, remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about how the Chinese cinemas were shifting away from, or they weren't going to see American movies in China. Remember that? Remember we were talking about that a couple weeks ago? I think that this is an outworking of that. I think the reason why that is because of this. And that's because I think the Chinese government is shifting them away from the American made films, the American made culture. And so now they're making their own. And what I find fascinating too is that the fact that Jackie Chan and Jet Li they're considered abandoning their country because they are holding dual citizenship. So I don't know. It's really interesting. I think
I've never heard of that being a thing before.
Yeah,
this will be interesting to see where this ends up.
Yeah, it is very fascinating. It is really it's interesting to see that hopefully they'll be okay. I mean, as far as that goes, as an American, I don't know how they feel. The last thing I would want is for the claws of the Chinese Communist Party government to be in my head. You know what I mean? So
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it right sounds now. Like Jackie's like okay. Oh, with
other
it.
Than Jackie, all right. Other than Jackie, I'm all for it. I mean, hell, I don't even like the American government. putting their claws in my head either. But, I mean, to be fair... Well,
you should go get dual citizenship somewhere.
Good point. I find that fascinating, and I think this is the reason why we heard 2 weeks ago that China is shifting away, and the box offices for American films in China are going down because they are being told
obtuse,
and the Chinese people are being told not to see these movies. Don't go see them. Don't promote them. And I think that is what's ultimately happening. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, also in some more entertainment news this morning, I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to see this, but Patty Jenkins, the director of the great film Wonder Woman and the terrible film Wonder Woman 84. I don't know if you know that.
It wasn't all bad.
Oh, it was bad.
I mean, fanny packs, man. Fanny packs.
It was bad, bro. Patty Jenkins really doesn't like streaming as a platform for exhibition or for its content, and she recently explained why.
Oh, she's just stopped being an exhibitionist.
The vocal critic of Wonder Woman 1984's dual release to HBO Max in theaters over Christmas explained to a crowd at CinemaCon about her decision of releasing the film into theaters and HBO Max. She stated...
Quick question. What is a CinemaCon? I keep hearing about CinemaCon.
Okay.
And other than Decepticon that transforms into a cinnamon roll, we haven't discussed what CinemaCon is.
I've told you what CinemaCon
is. Sundance?
I've told you what CinemaCon is. You should ask me that off the air because you are a Hawaii Film Critics Society member. CinemaCon.
Yeah, but I've never been to a CinemaCon.
Neither have I. But CinemaCon is what it is.
Rolls sound delicious.
It's a convention thrown by the National Organization of Theater Owners, National Association of Theater Owners, and they invite are all of the top Hollywood studios, including having guests like directors and actors, and including Patty Jenkins.
So how come we haven't been invited?
Because CinemaCon is not necessarily for critics. It's for exhibitionists. Oh.
So someone running around naked. So
okay.
So like nudists.
You guys are dumb. Yeah, something like that.
No.
Yes. Everyone's saying exhibitionist.
Yeah, that's what a theater. The people who own theaters are. That's what they do. They are exhibitionists. They exhibit.
They're nude on the weekends.
Yeah.
All right, shut up. I'm going to move on with my story. She stated it was a very, very, very difficult choice. I was looking at what is actually turning out to be true, which is we have no idea when this pandemic is going to get under control in the way that we hoped. It was the best choice of a bunch of very bad choices at the moment. She went on to describe the choice as heartbreaking, saying it was a heartbreaking experience and hugely detrimental to the movie. The story and the movie itself
She's blaming it on the pandemic.
No. That movie was just bad. And she said, getting back to it, was a heartbreaking experience and hugely detrimental to the movie. And I sort of knew that could happen. I don't think you knew it could happen with how horribly edited and how horribly made this movie was. I was happy to give the movie to the public. I don't think it plays the same on streaming ever. If I had walked into watching that movie in a movie theater, I would have been pissed. It was the right choice. I would have too. It was the right choice for all of us, and I was very much in deep conversation with Warner Brothers about the particular film. But no, I'm not a fan. And the only reason why I even bring this up is because Jenkins ended up elaborating on why she doesn't like day and date releases. I'm not a fan of day and date, and I hope to avoid it forever. The truth is I make movies for the big screen. I'm okay with people watching it for a second or third time on their phone, but I'm not making it for that experience. I love the theatrical experience, and I don't understand why we're talking.
Is that what streaming is referred to?
Yeah.
Day and date?
Yeah, day and date. Why we're talking about throwing it away for 700 streaming services that there's no room for in the marketplace. I'm going to tell you something that Patty Jenkins won't tell you. I will also tell you something.
Their social security number.
613-45. What I am going to tell you is something that Patty Jenkins won't tell you. And the same, I'll tell you another thing that Scarlett Johansson won't tell you of why she's suing necessarily. reason why these guys don't like day and date, because I will say this, there are very few in Hollywood that actually believe the fact that they want their movies on the big screen. This has nothing to do with the purity of movies. I am so sick of hearing that from guys that are that work in this industry and say that this is for that experience. There are a few, I'm not gonna say everybody, but there are a few that do it for that experience. But ultimately, the reason why she doesn't like day and date is because it affects her pocketbook. Because what happens is
their contracts are tied to the box office.
Contracts are most often tied to box office receipts. So now, so instead of complaining about day and date streaming, okay, what they should be doing and what will, and this is the same thing why Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney, because she didn't think her $50 million payout was good enough, by the way.
Right.
So what we have now is, and hey, listen, I'm not begrudging anybody getting their money. Get yours. If that's what the market is demanding that you get for your appearance in a movie, then by all means, go get it. That's not the issue. Just stop lying to the public. You want to get paid. I am cool with that. Okay? You want to get paid.
I agree.
Then what should happen is that, and I think it's happening now because I've mentioned it on the show before, what is ultimately going to start happening is that these contracts are going to be restructured. And what's going to happen is it's not going to necessarily be all about receipts at the box office. It's going to be about how many views or how many people end up watching that. And that's a hard number to gauge. How many people are going to be watching it on streaming or people are going to look for upfront pay for that movie. So there's going to be a fair assessment between the amount of views it gets and how much money is spent on the film. Because you got to remember, if those contracts are going to be structured differently, the way movies are made and how much money is put into a movie is also going to change. Right. So I think that this is a much bigger issue than it is. I, like I said, and most people don't really give a crap about this stuff. I only look into it because I am a fan of the industry and I love the industry and I love movies. So I just don't like being lied to. You want to get paid? Cool. Then stop telling us it's all about the experience. It's not about the experience, because you know, after watching that movie before you put it out, Patty, you knew that movie sucked. And I guarantee the moment you watched that cut, you knew it sucked, but you had no other avenue but to release it in the horrible state that it was in. So stop giving me lies and stop giving me baloney. You wanted to get paid. Unfortunately, you weren't able to get paid out the way you wanted to with Wonder Woman 84. And I think that those box office receipts, I think once word of mouth got out after that first big week, I think it would have dropped big time if the pandemic didn't even happen. So ultimately, that's the reason why these guys do not like day and date. Okay? So yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's something to be. That's something to. And like I said, that's even the initial reviews of Dune are starting to come out. A lot of people are getting to see preview screenings of Dune, and Denis Villeneuve, the man who directed Blade Runner and such, he is also not a fan of day and date. So. Ron in the chat, always smart as ever. I guess you're not interviewing Patty Jenkins also. That is correct, Ron. I will. that's very true. That's very
weird
true.
How that works out.
Let me tell you something. Hey, Ron, if there's something that I'm good at, it's burning bridges. So even if they didn't exist.
Why half the crew not here anymore.
All gloomy,
yeah,
all
yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. also in the news this evening, you know, it seems to me that and I wanted to get to this. There's a couple of other interesting controversial articles I want to get to, but I do want to talk about the death of actor Michael K. Williams. For those of you that do not know, Michael K. Williams, who was well known for his role in The Wire, died on Monday. Williams was found dead Monday afternoon by family members in his Brooklyn penthouse apartment, New York police said. He was 54. His death was being investigated as a possible drug overdose, the NYPD said. The medical examiner was investigating the cause of death. And, of course, as some of you know, Williams appeared in all five seasons of The Wire from 2002 to 2008, his character growing in prominence with each season. His Wire co-stars were quick to pay tribute to him on Monday afternoon. So it looks like Williams had been working with a New Jersey charity to smooth the journey for former prison inmates seeking to reenter the society, and was working on a documentary on the subject. He spoke in an Associated Press story in 2020 of his rough time growing up, and said he had struggled with drug addiction. As most of you know, he's been in a lot of movies. He's a great character actor, Michael K. Williams. One of the features that he has on his face that makes him so memorable is not just how good actor he is. He has this very intimidating scar that runs along his from his head down to his I believe it's his cheek to his cheek or his mouth. So you may remember him from his very pronounced visual look. If you ever watched The Wire, he passed away. He's a good actor. I'm a fan of Michael K. Williams. Too bad he is gone now. You guys know who I'm talking about, correct?
I've never watched The Wire. So
Wire is wow. It's definitely, you got to get into it. It's pretty sweet. I think you guys might like it. It's definitely not geeky, as it were, but I think you guys might like it. Also,
I mean, that's fair, because I didn't check out The Blacklist until you brought it up,
and right?
I really dug The Blacklist.
You like The Blacklist.
Yeah.
Also, see, you should listen to me more often, Format.
I think I listen to you a little too much right now. So. You're everywhere with this interview with Dustin Daniel Crispin.
I'm everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. They're raving.
Oh, man, everyone's talking about it.
They're raving.
You can't get them to shut up.
You can't get them shut up about it. Just want to let you also know, if you have not seen it yet, there was a very fun trailer released for the Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot Netflix film Red Notice. If you have not had the opportunity to see that trailer, check it out. It actually looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, exclusively to Netflix, I believe, in December, if I'm not mistaken. It looks very, very fun. So we have Deadpool, Wonder Woman, and Black Adam all in the same movie. Nice. That's going to be cool.
It's about time.
Also,
I've been waiting all these years.
For those that don't know, today, the website whatisthematrix.com released what they're calling a teaser of the new Matrix Resurrections. It looks like the trailer will be the full trailer, or whatever it's going to be, will be available on Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific time. If you don't know the actual, and this I can share with you, if you have not seen it, let me share this with you guys. Share this screen. I want to make sure that I have the proper tab. Yeah, right there. This was what you saw when you visited. The choice is yours is the poster for those of you that are in the chat right now and listening and watching. And of course, this is the choice is yours on the top. And there's two pills, a red pill and a blue pill. And it's the release date for this is, of course, December 22nd, 2021. And we're going to see that's going to be both in theaters and on HBO Max. And we're going to see our first trailer of it come this Thursday, 6 a.m. Pacific time. So, let me see. Full screen layout. Let me check that out. It's pretty...
So excited.
It's pretty sweet.
The Matrix is coming back.
It looks very, very cool. Something to definitely look forward to this Thursday. We'll probably talk about it next week, Tuesday. Look out for that this Thursday, 6 a.m. Pacific time. as they say. Also, Jesus. What?
No, nothing.
Also in the in some entertainment news for everybody that's a Rick and Morty fan, I don't know if you guys had, if you guys had seen that Adult Swim has decided to do live action promos of Rick and Morty, starring Christopher Lloyd and Jaden Martell as respectively Rick and Morty for a limited time. This latest promo hilariously recreates one of the series' most famous scenes, the Rick and Morty 100 years meta rant that Rick goes on at the end of the first episode. As Morty hilariously twists on the ground, Rick screams, 100 years, Morty, 100 years.
100 years, Morty!
Did you guys see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it. He does a pretty good job of the rant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Well, it's Christopher Lloyd. Wow. He's a great actor. What do you expect? Check out.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, this is Christopher Lloyd versus, like.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd.
Well, do yourself a favor, guys.
He was a lot younger back then.
Go to Adult Swim. Go to Adult Swim's Twitter page if you're interested. I know that I'm sure that Todd Bernardi has already, done his due diligence and seen it as well. So check it out on Adult Swim's Twitter page. I think you'll be incredibly impressed if, of course, you are a Rick and Morty fan. So you're going to want to check that out. Also, in more entertainment news, there's not too much more. It's been kind of a slow entertainment news day. Since we haven't had comic book news in a while, I didn't want to bring this up. It looks like, do you remember the name Sandy Calora? C-O-L-L-O-R-A? I believe it's Calora, I believe.
Sounds familiar.
Okay, the reason why it does sound familiar is because remember a few years ago, he was the guy who directed. He's an artist and a director. He was the guy who directed the short film Batman Dead End. Remember that? Remember that was that cool short film with Batman in it? I don't know if you guys remember it. Anyway, look up Batman Dead End.
How long ago was this?
That was like a few years ago. Like, yeah. Batman Dead End. I think it's still up on YouTube.
I'm trying to think of something recent, but if it was a few years ago, then I've probably forgotten about it by now.
Well, the reason why
I'm sure Todd or Gannon would know.
Yeah, once you see it, format, you'll get it. Once you see it on YouTube, you'll know exactly what it is. The reason why I brought it up is that because Cholera is bringing out, or Cholera, I believe. I don't want to. I'm sorry if I'm.
Isn't cholera like a disease?
Yeah, that's
Cholera.
Yeah, but I believe it's Cholera. I believe.
Oh.
Well, there's one story that he's been wanting to tell for a long time.
Yeah, say it like Gannon. It's Cholera.
It's titled The Circle, and it follows a lone, lost warrior who helps an alien tribe fighting for freedom in a futuristic gladiatorial arena. This is a project that he's been working on for years, and he originally developed it as a feature film. But, of course, as you know how Hollywood can be, when someone is trying to pitch an original epic fantasy movie, most studios see stuff like that, like this, as a risk and aren't willing to make the leap. So, what Cholera set out on a journey to do was to bring this story to life as a graphic novel, but it's done in a very cool and unique way, as he's incorporating different art styles. This is certainly unlike anything that anybody has ever seen, and you should definitely check it out. Cholera recently launched a Kickstarter for the project, and he's looking to raise $58,000 for the project. As for the story that is being told, the creator explains, quote, "I've always loved comics, the characters, the stories, the art, the way it could transport you to another world or make you believe you could fly. Comic books lit my imagination on fire when I was a kid and inspired me to be creative, to dream, which has now brought me here to the circle." And this.
Oh, God.
I've always liked comics. That's why I decided to write my version of Planet Hulk.
Stop it. Let me tell you this. Let me give you the synopsis. Ron Cataguy would appreciate this. A futuristic landscape on the planet Thycos, where life and death revolves around an intergalactic gladiatorial arena. In the not-too-distant future, the Earth wars are over, and we've migrated to other planets, some of which were deemed hostile. Military men, basically warriors with no wars left to fight, found a place to thrive in these environments. Our main character is one such mercenary, set off to planets in every corner of the galaxy, capturing alien races.
He's a massive green creature.
Capturing alien races and creatures.
Stronger when he gets mad.
To do battle in the arena and work off his debt to the evil emperor, Lobros. Until...
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Lobros.
Lobros. His name.
It's a lowbrow Lobo.
Yeah.
Fraggin...
So it looks like you can check it out. The artwork on it looks really cool. Let me share this. Let me share this with you guys. This may interest y'all, as they say in the South. May interest y'all. Right here.
You did that way too well.
Boom.
Boom.
There it is, right there.
Gross.
That's it. Boom. There you go.
This looks like a...
The circle. Very cool art, by the way. Very cool alien on the front there as well. I mean, yep. The one with the green head looks cool. Yeah, Lobros. Not Lobros. Lobros. Ron Cadogan.
Las Lobros?
They're rebooting Planet Hulk. Stop it, Ron. Stop it. Stop it.
Where he has to fight the Mexican band Las Lobros.
Las Lobros. That's good too. I love that. Las Lobros. That's so good. Anyway, other than that, I think that about does it. I mean, other than, oh well, I tell you what, maybe I should talk about one more thing.
Yeah. Please talk about more things.
One more thing that I want to talk about is that, as most of you know, and if you didn't know, that Aquaman Deuce is around the corner. Aquaman Deuce. that's just around the corner.
Deuce. You know when you use the bathroom and that one just doesn't want to flush?
Aquaman Deuce. So that's right around the corner, and it looks like if you have not had the opportunity to check it out, Aquaman has a new outfit.
Is it reverse colors?
Work it, girl.
Green on top, golden yellow on the bottom.
No, it's not. It's not that at all. As a matter of fact,
please tell me he brings back the sweater.
No, he does not. But I will do this. Let me help you out here.
Let's take it off and people can smell it.
Let me share with you what Jason Momoa, that bug I like Momoa. Let's check this out right here. Bam. See what you guys think of this. Boom.
You say bam and it takes look at a while
that.
To load.
Look at that. What a stud. Look at
so
him.
He's pulling the Superman thing?
What a stud. Look at him. So now it's all black, right? Which is
it's kind of blue.
Yeah,
he's got fake abs now.
Now he does have fake abs. And here's my biggest problem, at least for now. And like I said, this could change. But now he looks like Batman. Well, we don't need Aquaman to look like Batman. We need Aquaman to look like Aquaman. I hate to sound like Alika, but we need Aquaman to look like Aquaman.
I can't wait to see what the cape looks like when they CGI it.
Yeah.
Yes, that is right, Ron. Aquaman is in Dune. That is correct, right, sir. Or Aquaman on Dune. You're right.
Aquaman on Dune.
Joel says he looks like Black Manta. Which
he does.
He does. He kind of looks like Black Manta. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do we know if Awkwafina will be in the next Aquaman?
I mean, it makes sense.
I Awkwa hope
That'd
so.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be definitely Awkwa cool.
Awkwa hope so.
And by the way, speaking of peeps, you may be want since we're
were
talking
we?
About
were we speaking of peeps,
we were talking about Aquaman peeps. Let me share this with you as well, because James Wan, the director of Aquaman and Aquaman 2, he also
James Wan,
our very own Orm will have a different look as well. Check this out, James Wan and Patrick Wilson.
Nice. Orm looks homeless.
Yeah, Orm. Yeah. Exactly.
super homeless.
Exactly. That's what I said. He looks super homeless.
Sure, that's the guy down in Kihei. Hey, I saw last
week. Looks super homeless, bro. I agree with you 100%. But yeah, that look. But to be fair, Pat, look at Patrick
what
Wilson.
What drum
look
circle
at,
is he from?
At least Patrick Wilson has real has his own abs. Look at that.
Right?
Yeah? Mm. Right?
I can't wait to see what the cape looks like CGI'd in.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're looking forward to the next time we see Aquaman on the big screen. So that is...
Aqua hope so.
That, Aqua hope so. I know you want to steal that from me. Go right ahead. It's great. It's fantastic.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No,
now, I wanted to talk about this, but I feel, well, you
this
know,
is bad news.
No, it's not. It's just that there was a guy.
It's bad news. Bring it, man. It's getting out of the way.
All right, right before I get to the gaming news, I will say this: Paramount Network 68 Whiskey writer. I know that most of you don't know who he is, and Marvel creator Dylan Park Pettiford called Shang-Chi critics racist incels. Park Pettiford.
What? You can't like a thing?
Yeah. Park Pettiford revealed his relationship with Marvel when he announced he was adding a number of new characters to Marvel's universe back in June. He tweeted, and 2 decades later, the folks at Marvel let me create a couple new characters to add to their universe. However, he was mum on what exactly he was doing with Marvel, telling one Twitter user, the NDA I signed says you're just going to have to wait. The Marvel creator and 68 writer's comments toward Shang-Chi critics began in response to a tweet from YouTuber Ryan Cannell, who asserted, people sure are excited about the third weekend for an MCU film of all time, almost like we were in the same spot after Black Widow opening weekend a few months ago, and that resulted in such a big box office disappointment that ScarJo sued Disney, which he's not wrong about. Well, in response to this tweet, Park tweeted, Shang-Chi hit 90 million plus in North America. Just say you don't know what you're talking about and stay mad, dork, quote unquote. So while Park decided to start off with an ad hominem attack, it's actually he who is misinformed about the box office numbers, as I told you earlier about it being the worst Marvel box office opening in history, right? So we all know that. But now, if you don't like the movie, Dylan said in his Twitter post, and I quote, Laughing at all the racist incels who are furious because Shang-Chi didn't flop. Cope losers, quote unquote. I think it's okay to not like something. Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird that this kind of crap ends up out of
Twitter.
Twitter's trash.
It's just Twitter. You put anyone in front of that damn thing, you're just going to get them arguing over nonsense. No one can just sit down and
say, I miss 4chan.
That's where most of these people came from.
Right? Back to 4chan. That's what I'm saying.
4chan, Tumblr. Well, all those weirdos.
Yeah. I the name calling is so ridiculous. You want to talk numbers or whatever, but just because you don't like Shang-Chi doesn't make you a racist incel. It's the stupidest thing ever. Anyway. I got some movie news here coming up. Blu-ray and DVD news coming up here shortly. But I do want to let you know in video game world, we are in September. That means there are a ton of games right now that are going to be coming out from here until November. And it looks like Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, whichever one you prefer to say, is kicking off their autumn sale today, where over 30 titles will be on sale up to 85% off. The savings are available on digital and even some physical titles, which is great for many fans. Included items are Immortal Phoenix Rising, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and more. In addition, Rainbow Six Siege is on sale for only $5, and you can get Far Cry 3 for free. The Far Cry 3 deal is valid through September 11th, while the autumn sale and Rainbow Six Siege deal runs until September 22nd. I would say that at that price, guys, they're two good games. I would say that Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, is worth it. I am not a fan of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's too much like the Dark Souls of the Assassin's Creed universe, and it pissed me off. yeah, I didn't like it. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, that's another fun one. But Ghost Recon's Wildland is where it's at. That's 70% off, and that's a great deal. And I would say that Rainbow Six Siege for $5 is really good. So if you're interested, for Rainbow Six Siege, it's a great multiplayer game and definitely worth the $5 faux show.
Lord Tonka.
Yeah, right now, though, I have to say that I am spending, as far as my gaming time, I am spending all my gaming time on Elder Scrolls. That's all I've been playing. Like, literally. I mean,
I literally saw you earlier logged into Fortnite.
And the only reason why I was on and you want to know why the only reason why I was on Fortnite was because I couldn't log into Elder Scrolls because they were having an issue. They were having an issue with their servers. That was the only reason why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess you're cleared.
Oh, but here's the cool thing, though. Speaking of Fortnite, since I was on for a couple of hours doing that Fortnite, I need to complete 3 more epic quests by September 12th so that I can get I can complete my Batman. I'm going to get my Batman skin in the black suit. So, super excited. Yeah, super excited. I got to get that. I got 3 more to do and then that's the goal. So, I got to get 3 more epic quests done and then I'm getting that black suited Superman. So, I'm very, very excited. Very
black
excited.
Superman, Batman. Mm-hmm. I thought you said it was Batman.
Yeah.
No, black suited Superman.
Oh.
Yeah.
You said Batman, dude.
Oh, I did. All right. I meant Superman, bro.
Black suited Batman.
I meant Superman, bro.
Technically,
I mean, there was that rainbow.
I will say that. You know. I guess loving a thing, what I find interesting is that. Purity of character for a comic book character.
I'm nervous. Anytime you bring up purity,
comic book character goes right out the window when they are a skin in Fortnite.
For sure.
Because I can't when I'm playing and I'm watching Chun-Li toting a gun, or I'm watching Superman.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Or when I'm watching Superman tote an assault rifle. It's rough. It's rough for me. So I mean, you know, all of this stuff about the purity of characters, and
I'm the same way with just skins in general. Like, like I don't mind like skins if they're just like cosmetic, you know, like a different take on a character or whatever. But when they port in a brand, you know, a brand name from something else, like in Smite, for example, they're doing a Stranger Things crossover.
Seeing
11 walk around the arena with, you know, surrounded by Sun Wukong and you know.
Yeah.
And Cthulhu and here's 11 in the middle of the field. Like, what? This is so out of place.
It is completely out of place. Know. And like I said, it doesn't bother me per se, but what does bug me is that, you know, we get, it just goes to show you sometimes, because I'm guilty of it too. It's like, well, I mean, I have a thing about Superman not killing people, but yet I turn on Fortnite, I hit his skin, and I'm more than happy to, you know, shoot people in the face. You know, it's like, it's weird.
Superman doesn't use guns.
That's right. Superman does not use guns. Yeah. So anyway, don't. It's just an observation I made.
So you're running around punching everybody?
Nice. By the way, there's a pretty cool Shang-Chi skin in Fortnite right now. So.
Oh, god damn.
Oh, get ready for the enemy ones are coming, I heard.
Yeah, enemy ones are coming as well.
Well, next time you see, you know, Shang-Chi with the rings on, you walk up and be, tell me about the rings.
I want it. That's what I want to tell him every time I see him in Fortnite now.
And you're just like, oh.
That's why I don't play Fortnite.
Yeah. I am.
You don't play Fortnite, Kai?
No, I don't play Fortnite. Oh, my goodness.
You must have dual citizenship.
Yeah. Fortnite is actually really good.
I don't have
good.
Time for that. That's too much. Yeah. It's all nonsense.
Yeah, it's.
Fortnite's okay.
I like Fortnite more now than I did a year and a half to 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that's great for you. I like to torture myself by playing League of Legends.
I like, you know, the reason why I like Fortnite now is because what's cool about it now is that now you don't have all of these ridiculous sweaties in Fortnite, because they've added some fun things like doing quests while you're doing, while you're hunting the other guys down and the storm gets smaller and things like that. It's fun to do the quests around the map. At least for me, it is. It makes it worth my time. It's a lot of fun. I love to see what people create and blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I like Fortnite more now than I ever have. So, you know, go figure.
Yeah, that's cool. Nothing's wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, adding quests during the Battle Royale, I think is a good move.
I do.
I mean, it's similar to, you know, like Warzone having contracts.
What's great about this is, and this is where I think Fortnite, and once again, I think that this is where Fortnite gets it right in the Battle Royale space, and no other game does. I think the fact that Epic has figured out that there is only a few set, there's only a set number of guns available, no matter if it's common, uncommon, rare, legendary, or epic, it doesn't matter. What happens is that it doesn't, it seems like there's only a few sets of different weapons around the map. You know what I mean? You're not putting sights on anything. You're not putting like grips on it. You're not changing. Everybody seems to be on the same playing field, if you catch my drift. So it seems more
fair. Right. It just depends on what you find along the way.
Correct. And it seems a little more fair. Now, the building, you can make the argument that the building in Fortnite, regardless of how you think about it, isn't fair per se, because I'm not a builder, but I know that a lot of people are. So you could make that argument, but that's the unique spin on Fortnite's Battle Royale, and that's what makes it different.
For sure.
So I'm not gonna complain about that. I'm coming into the game, and I don't expect them to change their mechanic just because I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, that's, you know, it's like me.
And it's good. It's good that the games are different. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to play the same thing just by a different publisher.
No, it's true, and that's
like Warzone. Warzone is great in its own respects. You got your contracts. You got your loadouts. You got, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You buy loadies on the fly.
Yep.
And
I agree.
There's fire sales and all that. That's great. And then Fortnite, you know, you got the find in the field or whatever the official term is when you're acquiring weapons on the fly. There's nothing wrong with those. Those games are great.
Yeah, and that's
I'm terrible at them, but I think they're great.
Yeah, I like the Battle Royale style now. And like I said, Fortnite, I think Fortnite for me is getting better because I think that all of the kids are starting to get older and moving on to other games. So I think that that's what's happening.
I know a lot of the youngins that were, you know, big time Fortnite streamers, for some reason have picked up Minecraft.
Yeah,
which I think is interesting. You know what I mean? Because it's such a slower paced thing than Fortnite.
Have you ever seen? There was a video that I saw that charted for the last 15 or 20 years. That charted the games that were on top and how they fluctuated between in the marketplace.
And oh yeah, that sounds interesting. No, I've never actually seen that. But it sounds interesting.
I will look it up and I will show it to you maybe after the show. But essentially, it shows you what games fluctuated over the past 20 years, mm-hmm. and the game that sticks out the most, and the one that hit it big, wasn't Grand Theft Auto, wasn't WoW.
It was Q-Bert.
It was Minecraft.
Oh yeah.
Crazy. And
way to go, Notch.
Yeah exactly. It's the craziest thing ever. But anyway, like you said, games that are constantly the same aren't fun. It's
I'm not, you know, that thing about Minecraft, I'm not surprised. Like I always find myself like say Fallout 4, for example. Like, I got heavily into the crafting portion of the game, you know, and building the settlement and everything. And even like Valheim now, like, me and Lono have pretty much finished the game, and now we're essentially playing Viking Minecraft.
Oh, Valheim, yeah.
So I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not surprised that that's the case. It's good. Minecraft is a great game. It's a solid game. I don't know why Lego didn't make a thing sooner that was, you know, along the same lines, but that's fine, because Lego's got their own thing now that's based more on characters than environments, so that's a great thing too.
Yeah, it's what's funny to me is that, like I said, it's great that there are different games. You know, a lot of the games have the same, a lot of the games have the same overarching mechanics, but there are things that have to be different for games. It's like I said before, I think it's like me asking Dark Souls to have an easy mode on it. It's like, obviously that game isn't for me. You know what I mean? So that's not, you know, I'm not that guy. Even though I'd like to play it, and even though I'd love to have a mode that's a little geared toward normal casual gamers, that's not a game for me. So obviously that's something that's for hardcore gamers. That's something that they should be playing, and they don't need to change that because it's me. You know what I'm saying? It'd be great, but, you know, I don't think I'm entitled to have them change it. You know, maybe they get more sales, sure, but that's not up to me. That's up to the guys who make the game. So that's how I feel about it. Anyway, also, before we get out of here, let's check out what's coming out on the Blues on the DVD and Blu-ray. Now, to be fair, there isn't much because, as you know, we just got out of the Labor Day weekend. So let's get right to it, shall we? Let's find out what's new this week in the world of DVDs and Blu-rays. Well, if you don't know, you know now, damn it, because Zack Snyder's Justice League is on 4K Blu-ray today. So definitely worth a pickup. If you've never seen it before or want to own it, definitely worth a pickup. Also on 4K Blu-ray today is a fantastic film from John Carpenter called The Thing. So you're going to want to check that out as well. His version from 1982, I believe. Also on Blu-ray today, or 4K Blu-ray today, is Star Trek, the original 4-movie collection on 4K Blu-ray. That would be Star Trek, the motion picture, The Wrath of Khan, The Search for Spock, and The Voyage Home. So you're going to want to check that out as well. Also, re-releasing on 4K today, I believe, is Rear Window and Vertigo from Alfred Hitchcock, if you're interested in that. Also on Blu-ray today is a film from 1980 from Disney. It's a Disney Movie Club exclusive, The Watcher in the Woods. It's the first time on Blu-ray, so if you've never seen it before, it's a movie that was starred Betty Davis and David McCallum. And Watcher in the Woods is on the same, kind of on the same level as Something Wicked This Way Comes. A little different, but I think you guys know what I'm saying. Also on Blu-ray today, if you're interested, Scream 2 and Scream 3. Don't know why where Scream 1 is, but Scream 2 and Scream 3 are on Blu-ray today. Also on Blu-ray today, there's a new anime out, or not new, but an anime out called In/Spectre. In/Spectre from 2020. You like anime? Don't know what the frick that is.
So like Inspector?
Yeah, exactly. But it's /Spectre. What the frick?
Nice.
Dumb. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus.
So it's Inspector, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Spectre has to do with, you know, like ghosts and
correct.
Ghouls
and, exactly. Yeah. Format. Inspector.
So that's the reasoning for the title.
Yeah, it's stupid. Anime.
You're stupid.
Also on Blu-ray anime, Heaven's Memo Pad. Whatever the frick is, what the frick is that? Heaven's Memo Pad. That's the dumbest thing.
I'll lend it to you one day.
Yeah. Speaking of stupid anime, Blu-ray One Piece Season 11 Voyage 4782 is out today.
It's not that, dude.
It's gotcha. One Piece Season 11 Voyage 4 is out on Blu-ray today, or on DVD today. So, yeah, that freaking show. I can't with One Piece. I can't.
You don't have to.
It drives me nuts.
At least the title is easy.
It's true.
Yeah, One Piece.
It's a good point.
Wait till you see the live action one.
Yeah,
it's not the. Do you love your mom and her two-hit multi-target attack?
Yeah. Sounds about right. Oh, my gosh. Just One Piece. Anyway,
I love that's a real name.
That, I think, is going to do it for this week's DVD and Blu-ray collection. Before I forget, Bleach Set 12 is out on Blu-ray today. So if you're interested.
We're getting closer to the new season.
Hmm? I can't wait. Thousand-year blood arc, finally, yes. After so many years.
Before I forget this as well, also on Blu-ray today is Ga-Ray Zero, the complete series on Blu-ray today. I don't know what the frick that is, but it looks like there's a white werewolf, a huge white-looking alien werewolf, and a small chick that looks like a Sailor Moon in a Sailor Moon outfit.
Again, so. I'll lend it to you so you can watch it.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good.
And getting back to, because you said, what was it, Dark Souls? You want to play Dark Souls, but it's too hard or something like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait.
Have you ever played Darkstalkers?
Hang on a second. Something Wicked This Way Comes is out on Blu-ray today as well as a Disney Movie Club exclusive too. So Watcher in the Woods and Something Wicked This Way Comes is out on Blu-ray. I think I may have to go get this Something Wicked This Way Comes on Blu-ray. Hey, what are you talking about? That's great. Shut your mouth. Anyway, what were you saying about Darkstalkers? Of course.
Not Darkstalkers. Darksiders. Have you ever played that?
Yes.
Where you play as the Horseman?
Yes. I like Darkstalkers 2 better than Darkstalkers, and I thought Darkstalkers 3 was a little. Eh.
You mean Darksiders?
Darksiders, yeah.
Okay, if you like Darksiders, you might like Legacy of Kain, because it's a little more hack and slash.
I played it back in the day. Okay. I like that. I like Legacy of Kain.
Did you like Soul Reaver?
Yes. I think so, but I like Legacy of Kain better.
Where you played Raziel?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I played those. Come on, baby. Come on now.
Those need
updates, reboots, updates, remasters. Reboots. I agree.
That'd be nice.
I agree with you.
But those for sure need. Those are cult classics. Like nobody gave a shit about those games.
No, they did not. Yeah. That's true. They're Eidos games too, weren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Crystal Dynamics. Yep. Those are them. Those were them.
So it's kind of cool.
And speaking of skins, I can't wait. I mean, Fortnite, and I don't know why Fortnite hasn't done it already. I think it'd be the perfect. I think it'd be a perfect topper right now because they're not exactly great shakes. As far as what's happening with them right now, but I think that Epic should get in contact with Blizzard and start making WoW skins for Fortnite.
I don't think anyone want to kind of go around that right now, given all the problems with Blizzard.
You sure? All right.
Yeah, we'll probably stay away from it.
All right.
I mean, it kind of depends, right? Because like, there are still hardcore people playing WoW, and if WoW is gonna be, you know, falling off like it has been, if it continues to do so, they may have to close servers.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, where are these guys gonna go?
But you can put you can do the humans. You could do the ogres, you know what I'm saying? So, you know,
orcs
or the orcs. Well, there's ogres in there too, ding dong. I would love to see the orcs. I'd love to see Gromash and, you know, Thrall, but that'd be kind of sweet in Fortnite. I wonder if people would be pissed off about that though.
I'm wondering why they haven't done any, like,
that's what I'm saying.
We're going to sell Fortnite skins.
Right.
And it's like, what? Fortnite skins? No, these are already the skins of existing Fortnite characters.
I mean, you could be
like Lexa and Reese. It's like, well, I could just roll them. No. You're gonna roll Lexa, but you're gonna activate the Reese skin on Lexa.
Well, I mean, you could actually put Anduin in there. I mean, as far as the humans go, there's so much potential.
Anduin?
Anduin. I've always called him Anduin.
Anduin?
No, because his name was.
I was like, who?
His name was A N D U I N, right? Anduin. That's how. Yeah. That's how I always pronounce it. Was Anduin.
Oh.
Yeah, I always pronounce it Anduin.
Anduin.
Oh, okay. I always pronounce it
it's
Anduin.
It's like A D W I N.
Oh, okay. Can you imagine running around freaking Fortnite as Sylvanas? Come on now. Sweet. I'm telling you.
I don't want her carrying like a rifle, though.
Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet, I think. I think. Anyway, you would assume that Warcraft is in the pop culture zeitgeist, but I guess now would not be the best time to do it, I guess, because of what's probably going not. On. Yeah, probably not. Anyway, we are out of time, boys and girls. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. We will be back next time talking about more movies, more games.
Maybe G will have that Patty Jenkins interview locked in.
As a matter of fact, if you don't know by now, I'll mention it one more time. Before we leave here, first of all, please like and subscribe to our channel at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Yep. Also on YouTube.
Smash the bells.
Smash the bells.
Finger those likes.
YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation, on Instagram at _nerdwatch. We're all over. And on Twitch at nerdwatch808. Also check out the astounding interview that I gave with Destin Daniel Cretton. It is on.
Don't forget to forward that video to your OnlyFans.
Yeah, I will do that. Absolutely. 100%. It's
definitely OnlyFans worthy there.
It's on Instagram, on IGTV. It's on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. And for those of you that follow Pukulani Superette on Facebook, just know it's there as well. That's how great that interview went. Wow. So check it out.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they've also added it to the Baldwin High Facebook.
Fair enough. Fair enough, you bastards. Fair enough. Anyway, we are out of time. Check out those interviews. We want to thank you guys so much for coming out tonight and enjoying the show. We'll be back same nerd time, same nerd channel next week. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, for our my good partners, Format, and for the producer, Seducer, Kai Kai, I am G Money.
Never produce.
Peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. We'll see you next time right here on the Nerd Watch. Aloha.